Baptist Church, Sunday night, Facebook Live service. And I hope everybody's had a great day today, wonderful day. And, of course, this afternoon had us a quick shower roll through. And appreciate that, the Lord, and allow some of this heat to roll off a little bit. But nonetheless, we hope you've had a great day today. We had a wonderful service this morning, and we appreciate Brother David Barker singing the great song that he sang. And of course, this morning we spoke of this troubled world we're living in, and the peace that's to be found in this troubled world. And we know that real peace, lasting peace, is found in Jesus. And we're thankful for that, and we appreciate the Lord. Thank you for all those who watched this morning. Looking forward to another good service tonight, and we've got Brother Randy on the keyboard tonight, and he's going to bring around a special in just a moment. I do urge you to continue to pray for these that we mentioned this morning, Brother Jim Daly and Miss Dawn and their family, Brother Jim, and his breathing condition. It's kind of been up and down. But let's pray for him. Let's pray for Miss Charlotte. This is the sister-in-law, Brother Joe Vandiver, as her cancer has came back. Please, please, please remember her in your prayers. And let's continue to remember Miss Joanne Rich and her grandson, Bentley, and some possible new leads on him being better and being hopefully and prayerfully cured of his eye situation. May have an allergy attachment to it. We hope and pray anyways that this would be the case. Let's remember Eli as well, and which is Bentley's brother, and Aiden and Ashley. And let's just remember the Rich family all together. Of course, Miss Joanne Rich, her sister Dee has been healed of God's touched her breast cancer, so we praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Brother Trell Norton, his sister that's recovered from back surgery, and many, many more requests. There's other praises on there. Just go online and check out our bulletin, if you would, to stay updated. Let me just say that this time next week, at least 11 a.m. next Sunday morning, God's house will be back open. And if you feel it's your time to come back, come back. We'll be here, and we'll have things in place. We'll have our seating arrangements in place. And let me just say again that if you are a larger family that's coming with young ones that possibly are not in the nursery but are up here in the main service, your family is to sit on one piece of marked tape, and your entire family. And so we'll have a couple sections for specific families marked off who have more than one or two members of their family. So just wanted to mention that. Again, no service next Sunday night. It's Father's Day, and so we're looking forward to next Sunday morning. And so you pray about it. You be with us. Let's have a great first day back in God's house, and see what the Lord may have for us. Let's pray, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Randy for just a few moments, and then we will bring about the message God has laid on our hearts for this evening. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, we are so very thankful for the service this morning, Lord. And God, while we still hope and pray in the healing of our land of this pandemic, and God, while we still pray for those in leadership, and Lord, while we still pray for those for that there will be a unity among the people of this land, black, white, yellow, red, and green, Lord, everybody's precious in God's sight. Father, we just pray for unity in our land and healing. But God, ultimately, we know that we're going through a time that is in our land that is very troublesome. It's growing worse and worse. And while on one hand we hope that things will get better, on the other hand we expect your return. And Father, at that moment, at this present time, we purify ourselves, even as you're pure, God, so that when you do return, we'll be without spot, without wrinkle. God, that we may just be all in following you. Nobody's perfect, but help us, Lord, pursue that mark of perfection the best we can until you come. This is the last stretch of the way, I feel like. God, give us grace to finish. Be with all these on our prayer sheet. Be with us as we prepare for next Sunday morning. Let it be a wonderful day in the Lord's house on Father's Day. And Lord, we just thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And God, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we give praise. Amen.
As a child, Mama told me about you and all the things that you've done. I wondered all these years how you kept going and had the strength to carry on. She said you'd always be there to guide me, to lift me up if I should ever fall.
Yes.
And if I got lost, you would always find me. All I had to do was call. Moses cried for help to free his people, and you opened up a mighty raging sea.
Amen.
And David said, he sure looks big, Lord. And you said, here's a stone, and you've got me. And when Daniel said, the lions are gonna get me, Lord, you said, get down on your knees. And in 6 short days you made the world we live in. And still you find the time for me. Stayed up 40 days and 40 nights making all that rain. And when you see us messing up the world you love so much, it's got to bring you pain. Well, if I was big enough or strong enough to help you, Lord, I would. But I can't. You gotta be tired, Lord. You gotta be tired. You stayed up 40 days and 40 nights making all that rain. And then you see us messing up the world you love so much. It's got to bring you pain. Well, if I was big enough, strong enough to help you, Lord, I would. But I can't. You gotta be tired, Lord. You've gotta be tired.
Is that it? appreciate that good song, Brother Randy, and hope you enjoyed it as well. What a message in that song. All that the Lord has done and will do and continues to do. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4 this evening. And we want to try to be a blessing and be a help to you as you begin a brand new week. Again, this morning we looked at some things concerning finding peace in a troubled world. But tonight we're going to go in a different direction. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we will introduce the subject tonight. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll be honored and glorified. Pray that you'd give me spiritual strength, quicken my mind. Help me rightly divide, and Holy Spirit, communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, be different as a result of this service, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, we see that the Apostle Paul, he is talking about ministry in this chapter. In verse number 1 through verse number 6, we see that Paul talks about a received ministry. He says in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And so in verse number 1 through 6, Paul talks about concerning ministry that he has a received ministry. Meaning, because of the mercies of God upon his life, and by God counting him faithful and placing him into the ministry, he does not faint. And that's the same message to you and I who's in the Christian race as we are trying to be a blessing to others and an encouragement to others. As we have received mercy, we faint not. It's because of God's faithfulness that he has placed us into the ministry. It's because of God's love he has forgiven us. And because of these things, we continue in the ministry. And so we see in verse number 1 through 6, Paul talks about a received ministry. And then in verse number 8 down through verse number 16, we see that Paul begins to talk about a rigorous ministry. In verse number 8, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." He says in verse number 10, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And Paul, he continues all the way down to verse number 16, and he talks about a rigorous ministry. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, as we live for Jesus, and as we attempt to reach out to man with the hope of Jesus, and even in the local church, as we attempt to help one another as the body of Christ, we sometimes it can be rigorous. And Paul mentions some of those things here. But then in verse number 17 and 18, we see that Paul talks about a rewarding ministry. Verse number 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so in verse number 17 and 18, he talks about a rewarding ministry. Back up in verse number 8 through 16, a rigorous ministry. Verse number 1 through 6, a received ministry. Paul in this chapter is talking about ministry. And whether you realize it or not, we are not just called to, as the one person says, sit on our blessed assurance and wait for the rapture of the church. We all have a ministry. If nothing else, our ministry is to be an edifier. Our ministry is to hold one another accountable. But I want you to notice something else in this chapter. In verse number 7, Paul kind of changes the scope of the things he's talking about. And he uses an example to illustrate the person that's in the ministry. Notice, if you would, verse number 7. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Tonight, I want to look at this verse, and I want to look at the chosen words that Paul uses as an illustration concerning a person's life, a Christian's life that is in full-time ministry, that is trying to press toward the mark for Jesus, trying to be an encouragement, trying to be a help, and trying to be a witness to this world. Paul likens this person to an earthen vessel. And so tonight I want to preach for a few moments on that subject, earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Why did Paul choose to use the terminology, the object lesson of an earthen vessel? Well, that's what I want to get into tonight, and the good Lord being our helper. I want to mention three things that pertain unto earthen vessels and how all of this plays into the life of the believer as they serve Jesus in the ministry. Before we go any further, I brought an earthen vessel. This is a clay object. This is the finished product. This is used to pour out. And the question is tonight, why would Paul liken the believer to an earthen vessel? Well, that's what I want to get into tonight. Number one, I want us to look at the container. Notice again in chapter number 4 and verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Earthen vessels. Number one, when we look at this container, earthen vessels, I want us to look at the material. What is an earthen vessel? Well, the word earthen has to do with clay. It has to do with clay matter, earthly matter. Also, the word earthen is through the idea of something being brittle, something being fragile. And I want to say tonight that this is an earthen vessel. This, as you're seeing right now, is a clay container. But it's also very brittle and it's very fragile. It's easily broken based upon how it's handled, you see. And so tonight we see that the container Paul talks about are earthen vessels, clay vessels, brittle vessels. Now, that's the material. An earthen vessel is made out of clay. But now I want to look at the molding of an earthen vessel. We know the material is made out of clay and they're brittle, and that's such as we are. We are clay in the potter's hands, and we are people who are subject to break. We're people that are subject to fall. We're people that can break. We're very brittle in nature. our bodies are, our feelings are, our emotions are. That's the material of an earthen vessel. It's the clay container. Then the molding, the earthen vessels, how are they formed? Well, I want to say that number one, when an earthen vessel is formed, it starts with a lump of clay. A lump of clay. Number two, there's a forming of the clay. Hold your place here in 2 Corinthians, and if you would, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 18 for a moment in verse number 4. Jeremiah 18 and verse number 4. You see, there was a time where God was dealing with Israel in the Old Testament, like many times. And the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in verse number 1 of Jeremiah 18. He says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Now, in verse number 4 tells us how some of this process takes place. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." And so in this verse particularly, we see that in order to make an earthen vessel, clay is involved. And also in order to make an earthen vessel, a forming is involved. When Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, he seen this work that the potter was working on the wheel, and it had to do with clay, and it had to do with a formation. The Bible says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." It was marred in the hand of the potter. It was disfigured in the hand of the potter. It was broken, if you would, in the hand of the potter. And the Bible says, "So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." This is not only a lump of clay we see on the potter's wheel, but we also see a forming of the clay. This potter is forming this clay as he wishes. Whatever potter, however the process was that this was for, whatever potter formed this, he had a particular plan in mind. He or she wanted it to be tall, wanted it to be slender. Some of us wish that God created our vessels tall and slender. But nonetheless, this is a tall and slender earthen vessel. It has a long handle on it, and this was the overall goal in the mind of the potter, was to make this kind of vessel. And you see, you and I tonight, we all, especially those who are born again, we are clay in the potter's hands. And he is forming us. I don't know what he's forming you to be. I know he's forming all of us to be more like Jesus. But I don't know if the Lord in your life, his purpose is for you to be tall and to have a tall, slender kind of ministry, to have whatever way that he seems fit to fashion you in your life. God calls all of us to do certain things. We're not all this kind of product when the Lord gets through with us. There's different kinds of clay vessels. There's short, there's wide, there's tall, there's big, there's little vessels. But all of those vessels are used for a purpose. And tonight we see that the container is an earthen vessel made out of clay. And that's the material. The molding or the making of this earthen vessel starts with a lump of clay. And then there's the forming of the clay. But it doesn't stop there. Whenever the potter gets the clay to where it wants to be, then heat is involved. Now, I can say definitely that the kind of pottery work that goes on in our day, heat is involved. Probably back in Bible days, I'm sure heat was involved, but a lot of times they would just allow them to dry out and take their shape. But heat was involved, at least in our days, heat's involved. Back when I worked at Georgia Tech, there was a time where I had to assist a certain art group. And many times they had this big machine that, I mean, it looked like a huge, vessel kind of. But it was made out of metal, and it had a little door in the side of it. One day I said, if you don't mind me asking, what am I looking at here? And he said, it's called a kiln. K-I-L-N, a kiln. I said, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. A kettle? a what? He said, a kiln, and he spelled it, K-I-L-N. And he said it's used in pottery class. He said there's a certain stage where not only we scoop out a chunk of clay, and we have that chunk of clay on our wheel, and then, of course, we apply the water, and we begin to mold and shape the kind of vessel we want to use. But then there comes the heating process. And that's when this vessel is... It's been chosen. It's been removed from the clay. It's been chosen. It's been molded. And now it's time to go in to the kennel. Into the kennel. And while it's in there, the heat is turned up. And I'm telling you, the heat from that kennel, it cooks nearly this vessel. The heat is turned up. And from the heat of that furnace, this vessel stays the shape the potter intended for it to be. You know, many times in life when we go through trials and we go through adversity, we feel like God has forsaken us. We feel like God has turned his back on us. We feel like the Lord has dealt with us unjustly, and God has somewhere along the process forgotten us, as when Joseph was down in the prison. And he was told that he would be remembered. Yet Joseph was forgotten for 2 years in prison. You see, sometimes we feel like God has forgotten about us. We feel like the Lord has left us in the fires of this life. But really, in all actuality, that's not the truth at all. But you see, it's because of that fire, and it's because of the heat, it actually purifies that vessel. It strengthens that vessel. It causes the shape of that vessel to stay. You remember the story in Daniel, I believe it's chapter number four. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in the burning fiery furnace because they did not bow their knee to the sound of the music that King Nebuchadnezzar sounded. They did not bow. And those three boys were in the fire. But I want you to notice, and you already know this, by the end of the story, the Bible says they had no hurt. There was no hurt found on them. There was no smoke found on them. And so what took place? Well, we know that there was a fourth man loose in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar seeing Jesus like unto the Son of God, the Bible says. He looked in that burning fiery furnace and seen the Lord with them. What did that fire do? If you read the beginning of when they first got in, they went into the fire bound. They went into that burning fiery furnace and they were bound. But by the end of their burning fiery furnace experience, that fire, the only thing that fire consumed was the thing that had them bound. Nebuchadnezzar says, lo, I see four men loose, and the fourth likened to the Son of God. You see, when God When he chooses us, he has chosen all man to salvation. But then he begins to mold us and he begins to work on us. And then he allows us to go through the fires of this world. But you see, those fires are not to hurt us. But those fires are to help us. Those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into the fire bound. But you see, Jesus showed up. And Nebuchadnezzar says, lo, I see four men loose. I want to say that if Jesus has saved you and redeemed you and called you by name and you find yourself in the fires of this life, he does not want to hurt you, but he wants to help you. You and I, sometimes we have these things, these areas, these facets of our life where we're bound and we're tied to things and we're held captive. And then the Lord allows a fiery experience. And God's plan in the fire is to refine. So you see, when the Lord began, when this potter in Jeremiah chapter number 18, when he started to form this clay, it was formed. But it had to stay that way. I want you to notice that it was marred in the hands of the potter. In verse number 4, it was broken. It had fell apart. And so he made it again. Like in our day where kilns are used, if that's the same way they did it back then, which I'm sure it was, much of the time it was in Bible days, heat was used, that immediately after it was formed, it was placed in the fire. At least it was placed in a heated place, where fire was around it, so that the heat would cause it to stay. You and I tonight may think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try us, as some strange thing happened unto us, Peter says. But listen, brethren, think it not strange, he says. He says, God is trying to refine our faith and strengthen our faith. And whatever fires that we find ourselves in, whatever ovens of life where the heat is heavy we find ourselves in, it's not the Lord trying to hurt us, but he is trying to help us. He's trying to free us from the things that may have us bound. You see, sometimes heat is the best way to purify something. And so this is one of the steps in getting this container here. Not only a lump of clay is chosen, a forming of the clay takes place. Then heat is involved. But there's something else. Then there's the finishing touch on the vessel. This vessel doesn't have it. But every vessel has a little lip on the end of it. That is the, before it's actually in the fire, the last touch, when it's being molded and shaped, a little lip is indented, and it's used for pouring. Of course, this one's used for pouring. But you see, the idea is this, is that a potter would get the clay. He would form the clay, and then he would create a little lip on the end of it so it would be easily to be poured out. I want to say that Jesus has his thumbprint in an individual way on your life and my life. We know that everybody's thumbprint is different. There's not two thumbprints that are the same. If a person gets pulled over and a cop wants to do a test or run a thumbprint, it's always going to become different. It's always going to be different thumbprints with every person. I want to say tonight that Jesus, he chooses us and he forms us and he creates a little, by his own thumbprint, a particular lip in our life. He applies his thumb in our lives. It's his own individual identity. He chooses us and he uses us in different ways, just as every person has their own thumbprint. Every person has their own ministry. But that's still not it. There's the lump of clay in this molding process. There's the forming in this process. There's the heat that's involved in this process. There's, of course, there's that finishing touch where the thumbprint is involved in the heat. But the purpose is for this vessel to be able to pour out. You know that God chose you and God chose me to be a vessel that He can pour out. He has touched your life. He has touched my life with His very own thumbprint. And we're all different. We're used in different ways in the body of Christ. Everybody is not a toe, and everybody's not a hand, a finger. Everybody's not an arm, but we all make up the body of Christ, and God has chosen to mold and shape vessels as He pleases, and He places His thumbprint, and He puts it in the fire, and the fire refines it. The fire allows us to be freed from any devices that may be holding us back. Let me mention something else when it comes to this container. The purpose is to pour out, but there's a liability here. Because the very name, earthen vessels, means brittle vessels. It means clay vessels. You see, these vessels tonight go through a lot of purging and cleaning, a lot of fire, goes through a lot of experience to get to this point. But the truth of the matter is, this is easily broken. It's easily broken. You and I tonight, we are people of a triune being. We are body, soul, and spirit. And that soul part is the seat of our emotions. It's who we are. It's how we respond to situations. We get angry. We experience happiness, and we laugh, and yet there's times where we cry. And the truth of the matter is, we being jars of clay, really, we're earthen vessels. There's times where we're broken vessels. There's times, as when Paul is talking about the ministry, and he says we're troubled on every side. And verse number 9, we're persecuted. Verse number 10, always bearing about the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Listen, there are times in life where we break. There's times in life where we struggle, and we're trying to hang on to the promises of God while we're in the fire. And there's times where we doubt God. And there's times where we just say, Lord, I just don't know if you're in this. And you see, all the while, He's refining us. But there's a liability, because sometimes we break, don't we? Sometimes it's through our own faults and failures that we fall and we stumble and we break. Other times it's just through the hardships of life. We fall, we stumble, we break. Sometimes in life we get hurt by people, and because of our emotions and because of the struggles of life we're in, we fall, we're brittle, we break. So what is Paul getting at tonight? He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. We're getting there. Number one, when it comes to earthen vessels, we see the container. And it's made up of clay, and the making of it, the molding of it. It starts with a lump of clay. There's a forming. There's the fingerprint. There's the heat. There's the purpose, and there's the liability. Notice something else in this verse. The contents. We see the container. Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What about the contents? I just read it to you. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Isn't it amazing tonight that God would put a treasure in such a brittle clay vessel, something that's so easily broken, something that's of the earth, earthly, that the Lord would choose to put a treasure in something so natural, something so earthly as a vessel of clay? Paul says, but we have this treasure. You see, where he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, back in Bible days, they would, many times, the people would place their valuables and deposit their valuables in earthen vessels. Listen to this in Jeremiah 32, in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days." That's what they did in Bible days. It was something placed of value on the inside. And so we tie the connection to our days. What does that have to do with us? Well, Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In the book of 2 Corinthians, same book, 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 1 and verse number 22, tells us that we have the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. That word earnest means down payment. It means earnest money is what it really means. And so the Bible tells us that we have the earnest of the Spirit. He has deposited His Spirit within us. And because of this truth tonight, we have a treasure, or this treasure, in earthen vessels. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the treasure of salvation in our vessels. We have the gospel within us, the very words of God. We have the treasure of salvation. We have the earnest of the Spirit in our vessels. Because of this fact, I want you to notice. Because of this fact that we have the earnest of the Spirit, we have a down payment of the Spirit. He is in our vessel, those that are saved. Because of this, we're able to continue in the ministry. Notice verse number 4. We're in chapter 4. Look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4 in verse number 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." What is that? He's talking about our earthen vessels. Although the earthen vessel, the outward man, is perishing and is going to perish. Unless the Lord comes back quickly, then we're all going to make our way one by one to the grave. The moment that we're born, we start to die. Job says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." David said, "There is but a step between us, between me and death." But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Holy Spirit in these dying vessels. Why? So that we can continue on. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish." Has there ever been any days where you woke up and your body was not wanting to move and you weren't wanting to go forward, but yet there was responsibilities that must be assumed and you must keep going, yet you felt like giving up, maybe not wanting to go day in and day out, and you find yourself continuing on? One person said one time, "Brother Justin, I don't think I could continue on. I have cancer and I have these problems." A year later, they said, "Brother Justin, I don't think I can go on. I'm battling this cancer and I have all these problems." Guess what? A year has passed by. A complete year has passed by and you are still here. Why is that? Because though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. These bodies are plagued with disease and problems, and we worry and we fret and we stay hold of things that bother us. We don't let them go. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Many times I would be telling you everything but the truth if I didn't say there's times where I felt like giving up, not giving my best in a particular day. There's many times where I wake up in the morning and I see what's on the agenda, and yet I have these burdens within my own heart that nobody knows about, but my family. And yet there's a day to be had. There's a race to be won. And what do you do? How do you move on? Well, because of the treasure that we have in earthen vessels, because of the Spirit of God, because of the salvation we have in these brittle clay jars, jars of clay, we are able to continue on. Look at verse number 8. We see this treasure, this the Holy Spirit working in Paul's life. In verse number 8, he says, we are troubled on every side. Notice this. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What is he talking about? Paul is talking about, he says, listen, I have a brittle vessel. I have an earthly vessel. But when God saved me, he deposited his Spirit in me, and I have a treasure in my earthen vessel. He says there are times where I'm troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's times where I'm perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, I ain't gonna cast it down. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, that's us tonight. We're living our lives and things happen and we get our world shaken and listen, we get bad doctor reports and there's responsibilities to be assumed each and every day. And though our outward man perish and we don't feel like we're going to make it, yet because of the treasure we have in this earthen vessel, we too can say that we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed because of life and the shape of the world that it's in, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we also can say, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, tonight we're looking at the contents of the container. And the contents has to do with a treasure. The treasure of salvation. Treasure of the Holy Spirit that was given unto us at salvation. So we see the contents, we see the container. One more thing and I'll be through. We see the cause. The cause. The question is, why does God choose something so weak to possess his Spirit? In our text verse, verse number 7, he says, but keep in mind, Paul's talking about ministry in this chapter, a received ministry, a rigorous ministry, a rewarded ministry. But in verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that. He's getting ready to tell us why God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He's getting ready to tell us why God chooses those weak, brittle elements and how he invades their life and he possesses them. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, that word excellency, it simply means superiority. Superiority. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, the superiority of the power may be of God and not of us. Can I say the cause as to why God puts his treasure in earthen vessels has everything to do with us realizing it's God that gets the job done. We're dying on the outside. We're dying on the inside. We're trying to make it through life, yet he has given us this treasure, the Holy Spirit. And though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. He does this so not only that we may see that it's God who's our sufficiency, but others may see that it's God that's our sufficiency. You see, the Lord deposits his Spirit in anybody who calls upon his name. But you see, we're all made out of the same stuff. We're all tonight made out of clay. And I want to say that clay is easily broken. But because of the power of God in us, because of the Spirit of God in us, and because of the several hardships we go through in life, the things we experience in life, you may be experiencing a job loss, you may be experiencing a bad report from the doctor, yet you know you're born again, you have the treasure of salvation within you. You may think you're going to fall, you may think you're going to give out, yet God is allowing you to keep on. Why is that? So the superiority may be evident who's in control of your life. I'm convinced many times God allows some of the most faithful to suffer the most in this Christian life because he's showing out on the world. I used to tell Barbara Ann before she went home to be with the Lord, we would start a conversation. I would call her and she would say, "Brother Justin, I'm at the hospital again." And not long after that, she'd be home. And I said, "That's just God showing out on you, how he can raise you up time and time and time again." He did that in her life for so many years. But he does that in our life as well. You may feel like tonight you can't go on any further. But I want to say, because of this treasure in earthen vessels, God is allowing his power to be betrayed in your life, in my life. There's the cause that the excellency, that the superiority may be of God and not of us. God wants to get glory through your life. And he does that through earthen vessels. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray tonight that during this virtual invitation that you would speak to hearts and allow them to do business with you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll give a